Greetings, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. We're going to be discussing on today's program something very helpful. We're going to be talking about my brand new book, The Prophecy Puzzle, subtitled Putting the Pieces Together. Oh, this is going to be so helpful. I can't wait for you to see it. I can't wait for you to read it. We're going to discuss this book in the show today, so stand by. Hey, good to see everybody today. Doc, my new book is coming very shortly. Mm-hmm. By the time they watch this, it may be in the process of being delivered. I don't know. But folks can go to the website, Prophecy in the Spotlight, and they can see the book. They can order a pre-order special where you can get two books, free shipping, one for you and one to give away to hopefully your pastor or somebody that you think could be helped by
you've been
book.
Working on this for how many months?
Years, I think. But
at least
a lot of the book is stuff I've already written in all my other books. I mean, the barley harvest, the jubilee, and the
thoughts from out of that, not the actual books, but
yeah.
But a lot added to it and changed, updated, and then new stuff.
But what's exciting about this book is my introduction that I give and the premise about a puzzle. And I have a puzzle box here that they can see. It's probably not real close for you to see, but a puzzle. Probably everybody watching our show has put a puzzle together at some point in their life. Mm-hmm. Some people have done a lot of puzzles.
Oh yeah,
my family likes puzzles. My mom, when we go up to Maine every year, they'd always have a puzzle laid out, and they'd sit out there talking while they put pieces in it. Now that's not my thing. I'm not a big puzzle person. But I love the principle behind this thing. And this book has really evolved as I've thought about it. I've had the title for months for the book, maybe a year or more. And I've got notes and things and I kept getting more light on this. And this is really going to be exciting.
Well, he's got most of those thoughts because he's listened to me. I know, but
I'm sure that's what it is.
But no, that's how it works. The books I've written many times have been, over a period of time, this, that, and the other, and it goes in, and it's not long until it falls into place, the pieces.
I got some thoughts just while you and I were sitting here getting ready to do a show, and she was putting pictures up back here, letting us pick what we wanted to use, and I said, well, look at that. Boy, there's a thought behind that. Mm-hmm. You know, had two people standing there with a big puzzle piece. And
trying to force one of them's two people putting right pieces together, and another one is what really takes place, two people manufacturing and trying to force something that doesn't go together.
Yeah. And one of them had a man and a woman.
Well.
And I thought, that's interesting, the perspective, the different perspective there.
And that's why I told you, I said, one side ought to be the feminization of Christianity, the other side should be the fundamentalism of Christianity, because it has evolved in that direction.
Yeah. Well, let's first of all thank our audience, those of you who partner with us, support us. We appreciate you very much. We're probably about halfway through the billing cycle, so keep those gifts coming. We have a big lump sum we pay about every 3 months. Now, there's some of the shows or the stations that we're on, we pay monthly. Mm-hmm. But the big one, which is CTN, we pay every 3 months. And so when we say the bill's coming due, that's what we're talking about. And that's the big TV bill.
We do have something, though, Dan, that needs to be added to that is we desperately need a new camera.
We need a camera. We broke one. Yeah. And now we're improvising, but we need some help. We've had to buy a camera. It'll be here soon. But we had to take that money out of the account that we pay TV, so that hurts. We thought it was going to be $1,500, but actually I think it's about $1,000. Maybe there's somebody listening would like Amen. To just buy that camera for us.
It'd be a blessing.
Either call us, call the 800 number, say,
everybody
hey, I
probably
want.
Thinks, well, one of those people that, one of those big sponsors you have is going to take care of. We have only the Lord as a sponsor.
We don't have any sponsors.
No.
Let's see.
And
not a free book. I'm not sure what she's, what's not a free book? All right. Anyway, you go to the website, Protestant Spotlight. The book will be there. It'll be free shipping. And if you pre-order the book, you're going to get two books, one for you. She held up a sign back there, and I'm trying to read it and figure out what she's trying to tell me back there. And
reminding you, free shipping on it.
It's free shipping on
Amen.
The book, but the book's not free. I really think it's my best book. I think
it wouldn't have to be really good to be. No, no. I think what we've talked about is a fantastic book.
Yeah,
really
so,
do.
So let's get into that in just a second here. Let's finish up. Call the 800 number if you're one of our partners, or maybe you've never given before. Call the 800 number. You can donate right over the phone. The ladies will help you with that, or you can send a check. You can or you can go to the website and donate without. You don't need any help. You can just hit the donate button. It'll get your information, and that's how we stay on the air. We're viewer supported, so we appreciate Amen. You all very much. And if you'd like to pay for that camera, or maybe you want to put some money towards it and say, hey, well, I want to help with that camera, the ladies will be glad to talk to you, or just send a check or hit the donate button. But let us know that it's for the camera, if you would. That would be great. So back to the puzzle, Doc.
Yes.
It's a beautiful cover. And, I think the folks are going to like it. It's not going to be a real small book. It's probably going to be 300 plus or minus, trying to keep it down, but it's being hard to do.
Well, but the subject matter is, it's not that they can't read a section and lay it down and pick it back up. Some books, you know, you just almost got to keep that thing going. What you're talking about is sections that can easily be digested than the next session.
There's really, apart from the introduction has a lot of pictures of puzzles and people putting puzzles together where we illustrate what we're talking about here. Then there are four sections in the book itself. Section one is the four corners of prophecy. And I'm sure she'll put some pictures up as we're talking here. What we mean is, every puzzle you get has four corners on it.
Yep.
And those, I believe, are what holds the whole puzzle together. The sides are held by the corners. The top and bottom is held by the corners.
Right.
And then everything attaches to that. Mm-hmm. You don't get the corners right, you'll not get the puzzle done.
You can't get the framework right unless you got the anchor points right.
Yep.
And before you... But everybody wants to start, as I said a while ago, they want to start in the middle and work their way out.
Yeah, well, a lot of people who don't know anything about prophecy, they hear about something exciting and they dive into it, but they don't have all the pieces.
Yeah, I hear have preachers call, so, well, I'm getting ready to teach through the book of Revelation, and I want to make sure I'm doing something right. And so my first question is, have you helped them have an understanding of Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, do you understand the seven parallels in the book of Revelation? What are you talking about? And so you got to start, and you got to have the framework.
Yeah. So four corners are this is the most important part of prophecy. Now, it's not the most exciting. There are some exciting things in prophecy.
Yeah, but there are a lot of exciting things in it, and then there are a lot of things that are being excitable outside of prophecy as well.
Yeah.
But we're talking about real prophecy here.
Yeah. So the four corners, let me just give you two of them. The King James Bible.
I'm convinced you're right there.
Now, that whether that makes somebody mad or not, that's between them and God.
Because verse number one of your Bible, outside of the King James Bible, has the word heavens instead of heaven.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the very first verse in the Bible is wrong in almost all of your new versions.
Yep.
They have heaven plural, heavens, instead of heaven.
Yep.
And I've heard prophecy shows talk about it. They believe the King James got it wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the King James got it right.
They got it right. And if you understand the week of creation, you understand they got it right.
Yeah. So there'll be a few chapters inside that section of the four corners where I explain the King James Bible issue. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you my journey to the King James, how I became yep. King James. I mean, you're not King James because you're born that way. Yeah. You got to become a King James Bible believer. My faith, I like what the songwriter said, my faith has found a resting place.
Amen.
And that's where my resting yes, place, my faith absolutely. Is in this book right here.
If you don't have an absolute final authority, you don't have a cornerstone to start with.
Well, and we talked about this in the update, Doc, but when you put a puzzle together, you have the box cover. And you'll see it. They usually will set it up, stand it up to where everybody can see the cover while you put it together. Mm-hmm. What does that represent in our illustration here? It represents the Bible. Yep. The Bible is the cover. If you don't have the right Bible, or if you don't have the right cover, if your puzzle pieces are in the wrong box,
yep.
You go, Houston, we got a problem.
And if you don't have all of the pieces.
Oh, I hate that. Nothing yep. worse than putting the puzzle yeah. together for 9 hours and there's a piece missing.
Well, my dad used to put them big ones together, 5,000, 10,000. And every time we'd come to visit, he'd say, he's got it down to a certain, he can't find it. Well, the grandkids would get down somewhere and they'd find it on the floor somewhere.
On the floor.
And that's what's happened with all these Bibles. They've thrown a piece out here and added another piece there. They've thrown a piece out there. And then you're trying to put prophecy
yeah.
together.
Yeah. You're never going to get this. If you change the pieces
that's right.
inside
that's
the
that's right.
Well, enough of that. But another important piece of the foundation of the four corners, and I shared this with you, and I know you really like this part, is Genesis, the book of Genesis.
It's
the book of beginnings. You've got to, and I like that verse in Isaiah, and I mentioned in the book, he telleth the end from the beginning.
That's right.
The book of Genesis, especially the first 12 chapters.
Absolutely. And the first 11 chapters in particular, because chapter 11 at the last five verses actually would go with chapter 12. But that's the most contested scriptures yep. down through history. Everybody wants to make it allegorical. There really wasn't a first Adam and a first Eve. Yep. That's just pictures and types and all this stuff. Folks, you can take it. It's literal, everything in there.
Yep.
And without having that foundation, you're not going to have the picture.
Yep. So you got Genesis, the very first verse of our yep. Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We already discussed the fact that they think it's plural, and it's not. It's nope. heaven, singular. God didn't create the heaven that he dwells in.
No.
That's eternal. I was already there.
Because verse number one is talking about the beginning of this creation.
And we put a chapter or two of yours in the book mm-hmm. about the gap theory.
Oh.
And,
mercy. If you're off between verse one and verse two, and you are putting a gap theory in there to try to force another piece out of the book of Peter in with all of that, I'm here to tell you, you're going to end up with a skewed picture.
You're not going to get your puzzle is not going to come out right.
Picture not going to come out.
Yeah, the return of the Nephilim. No such thing in the Bible.
No.
The Bible teaches no such thing. There are no fallen angels that are having babies with human women.
Absolutely, never have. Because number one, God never created that to be a possibility.
Yeah, and so that's why Genesis is so important.
Yes,
and,
Genesis
absolutely. 6, of course. I've said for years, a wrong understanding of Genesis 6 leads to a lot of problems later on. Your puzzle ain't going to come out right yeah. if you're into that stuff.
But Genesis 6 problem is actually a result of a misunderstanding of between verse 1 and 2.
You almost, I'm not saying everybody does, but you almost have to have a gap theory for Genesis 6.
And people are saying, but preachers, you're making this too simple. It really is that simple.
Yeah.
If you, and I've heard two wonderful preachers that I have great respect for teach recently on the gap theory, and they called those of us in creation movement, like I'm involved with our movement in Dallas, they call us the bad guys. In the reality, they have walked away from what the Bible said.
Yeah. Now, there are two more corners. I'm not going to share that here on the show because I don't want to give everything away. There are four corners of prophecy, the four corners mm-hmm. on your puzzle.
Yep.
We've shared two of them. One of them is, of course, the King James Bible. Yep. And we explained
and
why.
And I know there's going to be some people that are going to say, oh, I just don't see there's that much of a difference. They need to discover the number of verses that are missing in all these other translations.
Yep. Oh,
and word changes that yep. change the entire concept.
Yep. And and the fact that the first 11 or 12 chapters of Genesis, very important. It's a foundational thing. If you don't understand Genesis 1 through 12, you're going to have some problems later on, and that's why it's a cornerstone.
It's like building a house. If you don't put the right thing together in the footings underneath the foundation, you're going to have problems all over the project.
Yeah, you got to measure that out. The corners got to be in the right place.
They got to be perfect.
They've got to fit. They're going to hold everything else together in the puzzle. Everything attaches to some degree to them four corners.
So I've built lots and lots of buildings. I come from a contractor background. I'm here to tell you, if you don't have the corners square and you don't have them level, you're going to have nothing but problems. And when you get to putting the roof together, you're going to find real problems.
Your boards ain't going to fit right.
Yep.
Yeah. And so the section two, after we get through with the four corners, there'll be several chapters under each of the corners that explain the corners. Then section two is the foundation pieces, the sides and the top, bottom, and the sides.
Yep.
And she'll put a picture of that up there for them. That's the second most important part of prophecy. Those are the major highlights of prophecy. I mean, Israel becoming a nation. I mean, just big, important prophetic things that you've got to understand. And these build the foundation around those four corners. Four corners hold all those up.
Yep.
But then you got the sides and the tops. It's kind of like building a foundation of a house.
That's right.
It's all very important. These are crucial. The pre-trib rapture is in there.
Oh, yeah.
That's foundational. You've got to be right on the pre-trib rapture or nothing else is going to fit. Your roof is going to be crooked if the foundation's not right.
And then you're going to go over to another passage and say, wait a minute, that don't really go with what I've said. So I got to make up this. You just got to take this for what it is. Truth.
In the introduction, I talk about the fact that you can't force anything.
No.
When you're putting a puzzle together, and she'll put a picture up. We got a picture of a hammer and trying to bang one of them pieces in because it don't fit right. So trying to tap it in there.
Well, there's a whole lot in even prophecy ministries right now that are doing that.
Yeah. Yes. You can never force it. If it's biblical, if it's right, it'll fit right in with everything else because they're all interconnected. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that he's coming at the beginning of the tribulation or before the tribulation, that fits with other things. It all fits together. And if you put the wrong piece in there and you maybe tap it a little or get a pocket knife and shave it to make it fit.
That's where one of those principles of Bible interpretation come in. No scripture is of any private interpretation. Yeah. And if it doesn't fit right, then you either got the wrong piece in the wrong place or you've already got something in the wrong place.
You know what you do with that piece? You set it back on the side and you wait.
Wait until you have a clear picture of where it fits.
Later on, you're going to have more pieces. And then you say, oh, I know where that goes. Sure, it goes right there. Yep. And I could give illustrations of that. Job 38. For years, I didn't have an answer for the Nephilim crowd. Job 38. Yep. One day the light came on and the piece fits like
it goes. Well, that's how it works. Yep. And the more the pieces fit together, the closer you get to the end of it.
Yep.
The more understanding and enlightenment you get. That's how prophecy is working.
And we talk about rightly dividing.
Yes.
What's the first thing you do when you dump out your, here's a bunch of puzzle pieces here, came out of that box. What's the first thing you do? First of all, you put them all upright, because when you dump them out, they're all, they're upside down. Mm-hmm. You get them all facing up. What's the second thing you do? You get all your straight edges. Mm-hmm. In the process of finding the straight edges, you're going to find those corners.
You're going to find the corners.
And you're going to set them four aside. Mm-hmm. But you get all the straight edges over in a pile. I mean, and that's what you build first. Yep. You don't build the roof and then, and then the walls and then, hey, we need a foundation here.
Yep.
No, the foundation first. And so that's rightly dividing right there.
But if people aren't rightly dividing, what I would call simple to understand from the word, take it literal. Don't just try to make it not what it is.
Yeah. We'll have some stuff in the book about, the law, God's laws of Bible study or laws of puzzle building, call it. There are certain laws. You got to build that foundation. You got to find them corner posts and you got different colors. I mean, you're working on a brown house. well, you got a blue piece. Well, it feels like it fits in there. No, it's not the right. It doesn't fit. It's not the right color.
It's the wrong blue.
Yeah. And it's simple. I mean, it may seem too simple to people, but this is what Bible study is. And
That's just what you're talking about. You're talking about Bible study concerning prophecy. And people don't realize that at least almost 29% of the Bible is pure prophecy. And then with all the implications of prophecy, I'd say at least 50% of your Bible is prophetic in its nature.
And when you understand the three ways to understand Scripture, literal, mm-hmm. figurative, prophetic, it's on every page pretty much.
It is.
A prophetic lesson.
And the applications out of that, I don't know why more preachers don't preach prophecy in this way to their congregations, because the applications you can make from those implications is astounding for building up a Christian's faith.
Yeah. So the next stage in the book, the next section, of course, you've got the introduction where I explain putting a puzzle together, what we're talking about here, and then phase one is the corner post. We go into great detail on those. Phase two is the foundational walls that connect to the four post, corner post. Those are cut and dry. Those are important things. The 7,000 years, of time, and the pre-trib rapture. The Antichrist coming on the mark of the beast. These are all bound. These are all foundational things.
Should be cut and dry. Yeah.
Then you come to what we call the landscape. Now, depending on what your puzzle is, it might be a building, might be a barn or house, could be trees, a bridge. I mean, whatever it is, that's your landscape. That's the third section. Mm-hmm. Now, these are pretty simple. It's pretty easy to put a barn together on a puzzle or a house. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's say the house is red. You're looking for red pieces and you put them in a pile, and that's got to be part of that house there. And that house would go up pretty fast. And so these are just normal prophetic things that we study.
And I think in this picture, Jesus has got to be the centerpiece of it all, because what's the 19th verse of chapter 1 of Revelation? He is the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then the hardest part is the last section.
Mm-hmm. That must be where we are today.
And that's the sky.
Yeah.
The sky above.
Yeah.
Anyone that's ever done a puzzle will tell you that they hate that part. It's either clouds or sky, and it's all blue. Hard to tell them pieces apart, so it's
especially
work.
Especially if you don't have a tree branch coming through.
That's right.
Or a bird in this. Or if it's nothing but that. Boy, those whites
and
blues.
But those are clues. When you say, hey, I think I know what goes there. There's a piece of a wing there. And see, that's the clues we get. Yep. I think this could be prophetic. I think this could be real.
And then you got to start looking. Wait a minute. Look at the shape of that one. There's one over here that's got that shape. Don't fit until you find one that fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what I call that final phase, I think that's the deep things of God.
It is.
That's the prophetic things. For instance, I'll just give you one. In my Barley Harvest book, I think it's also in my Seven Clocks book, I have a chapter on the last barley standing. Of course, it's Stephen in Acts chapter 7. That's some of the deepest stuff that I've ever written, except for maybe the stuff about time that I wrote, The Mystery of Time. Mm-hmm. These are deep things. Young Christians don't. They have a hard time with that.
But if they work their way through building themselves and their lives with this picture, then those things will become a little more easier to do.
Yeah. And, of course, just a few sayings here. The more you got to have all the pieces, number one.
Yeah.
If your box is missing some pieces, it's not going to come out right. But even if you've got all the pieces, you sometimes can't figure out where they go. But the more you put together, the more of it you start to get together.
Then you realize, this piece does fit here.
Yeah. It all comes together. And you got to be patient. And sometimes it takes years. Yeah. I didn't get where I'm at, and you didn't get where you are in 6 months. I mean, we've been at this a long time. And
I've been at this thing of prophecy since I was a child. And, and so I grew up under it and in it and nothing about it. But yes. I sometimes I get questions from even preachers, and I, in the back of my mind, it's like, I can't believe you're asking this question. But then I realize that preacher did not have the privilege of growing up like I did. And I share with them what they're asking.
Yeah. And so the four sections and the four phases of putting the puzzle together, you don't start with the sky, obviously. No. But that's one of our problems, Doc. People are watching stuff on YouTube and they don't have the foundation in their life. They don't understand the pre-trib rapture. They don't understand the Bible issue. But something catches their attention and they go off on it. And they get all excited about it and they start studying that. They're working sometimes on the sky and that's tough.
Yeah. No, even this week I was listening to a very renowned prophecy teacher. I think a lot of him. I think he's done a wonderful job. But he made a statement, and I turned to my wife and I said, "That's not correct." And I told her, I said, "We are not this, and this is not this." And I think if he had stopped and thought about it, he would have said, "Wait a minute." And I catch myself once in a while, maybe using terms that don't really go with the subject.
Yeah. And I hear it. I mean, almost every week I'll hear something and I say, we're going down that hill. Now we're going down that path. Yeah. Where does this end? It's awful how.
But if you forced a piece to fit somewhere, you've taken Second Peter and you've forced it over into Genesis chapter number 1, you're gonna have all kinds of problems putting the rest of it together.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a pretty fast summary of the book. You can go to the website right now, prophecyinthespotlight.com. You can you'll see the book there. It's pre-order only at the moment. You have to pre-order it. It's coming. It's coming soon. You can see it. You can read the back cover. You can and you can order. I believe the order is for 2 books and free. I'm not sure what the price is, but it'll be free shipping, and we'll get them right out to you. 1 book is for you, of course, and the other book is for someone that you think would enjoy or be helped. Maybe your pastor, assistant pastor, somebody that you know. Get that. Doc, say a little word about eternity. You only got 30 seconds.
Eternity's coming for everybody. And the thing that you need to make sure is that you're ready for eternity in heaven. You're not born headed to heaven. You're born headed to hell. It's not God's fault. You can blame Grandpa Adam if you want to. But Jesus sent his son to Calvary's cross so you could change your destiny from hell to heaven for eternity. So you must be born again. You just have to believe what God has said concerning the death, burial, and resurrection, the full payment for our sin debt.
All right. And we have Brother Grady's book on the website, What Must I Do to Be Saved? Get that if you need some help with it. All right. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.